We're going to now switch gears and, you know, talk a little bit about a few minutes we have about, you know, some of the people in Hurricane Katrina are now going through their second move. I mean, they're in another hurricane. They escaped Katrina. They want to get on the move to outrun Hurricane Rita. And Hurricane Rita arrives at less than a month after Katrina had battered the Gulf area. How can those of us watching from a distance, or worse yet, those of us made to evacuate, to cope with the psychological stress, to move again, how can we cope better with the stress of these disasters? Ellen Garrity is Associate Director of Duke University UCLA National Center for Child Traumatic Stress. She joins us by phone. Thanks for talking with us, Dr. Garrity.
Thank you for including me.
There must be people who are just at wit's end by now.
I'm sure there are. I think that Hurricane Rita is really a severe 1-2 punch for many people. If the children and families are being re-evacuated, the trauma and the stress of that begins all over again for them. And many evacuees that have dispersed all over the country may be watching the news coverage of the new hurricane and re-experiencing many of the things they went through.
Yeah. Let me remind everybody that this is special coverage from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow in New York, talking with Ellen Garrity at Duke University UCLA National Center for Child Traumatic Stress. And I would imagine children are among the worst affected here.
Yes. The potential impact for children is far-reaching and very serious. And this disaster, Katrina in particular, had such characteristics of, like, severity of exposure, you know, high winds, lots of water, dead bodies, the experiences in the shelters. They have lost loved ones through death or separation, sudden relocation, and they're especially vulnerable because of the potential harm to their physical and psychological development.
Mm-hmm. And is it best to try to find some semblance of normal life for them? We see them going back to schools in some of these places.
Yes, but I think that we are in danger of underestimating the consequences for children. There might be a sense that, oh, they're back in school to be a comfort for us to be thinking about as a nation, but think about it, what it might be like for those particular children to be uprooted from everything they know with almost nothing that they used to have as familiar. It is important. It's extremely important to try to get to a routine and a normal life, but I think we need, as a nation, to be able to mobilize resources for them wherever they are, whether it's preschool, elementary school, high school, or college.
Mm-hmm. And what about those kids who are watching? I remember when my kids were small, and they saw stories on the news about somebody running out of gasoline in their car, and they were worried that we would run out of gas in our car. You just magnify that now, you know.
Yes.
Incredibly big, and kids are just scared about it happening to them.
Right, especially young children. They're going to be more focused on what might happen to them, and parents can help them through listening to them and helping to know what their concerns are and to help them understand the ways in which the parents and others are helping them to be safe. And monitoring and restricting the amount of TV coverage exposure is very important, not only for children, but for anybody, and especially people who were directly affected. We know that from several studies that were done in the aftermath of 9/11 and Oklahoma City bombing.
Get your kids away from the TV set.
Yeah, as much as possible. Teenagers might be trying to focus in the way the rest of us are, as an impulse, try to make sense of the senseless by watching it and gathering information, but it really can be counterproductive to retaining a sense of safety again.
Mm-hmm. Is there a cadre of public health workers out there, or even, you know, family therapists who are helping these kids?
There are several groups that are involved with that. The National Child Traumatic Stress Network, our national center oversees a network of 54 centers, and there's a website, nctsn.org, that has a lot of information for parents. And in addition, there are mental health groups associated with the Red Cross that are trying to help in the shelters, but the situation there is very bad. We're hearing horrific stories about what children have been through, witnessing murders, rapes, they were themselves raped, all the losses they had along the way, the life-threatening situations. Every system now that is in play to help them recover needs special help with this kind of trauma experiences in children. Mm-hmm. And I think our government needs to be able to recognize that and be able to provide the help that children and family needs right now.
So while they're talking about rebuilding the levees and money for the, you know, rebuilding dikes and rivers and things, they should talk about, you know, funding your pleas for funding for saving the psyches of our kids.
Absolutely, and I would make a plea that would come first. That's our most precious resource and our future. There's talk about moving money from existing programs for kids and the elderly or the disabled and to help these families, and that's not a good solution because trauma doesn't occur just after a natural disaster. It occurs in other situations too, and we need to be able to take care of all of our kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, you're welcome. Ellen Garrity is Associate Director of the Duke University UCLA National Center for Child Traumatic Stress. Kimberly Jones is our Technical Director. Our audio engineers are Matt Galick and Ryan Habers in New York. Greg Smith composed our theme music. And we'd like to thank you for taking time to be with us today on our special coverage and your regular program. Hopefully, we'll be back next week. I'm Ira Flato in New York.